Okay, all right. Well, I want to greet you guys all. Welcome back to this week as we go back into our series. Pray with me for a moment and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you again for this day. Thank you for life. Thank you for breath. Thank you for the many blessings of just this day and all that it holds this day. And as we open up your word, as we open up the truth, as we spend some time together just going into what is your expressed plan and purpose for your people and for our journey here in this life. We invite your spirit of truth to quicken each and every heart, every person that hears these messages, every person that is in this room right now, and every person that will benefit from this in the future. We just ask that you would quicken all of us to the plan and the purpose and the will that you have for humanity at this time as we walk out our roles and our part of the larger work that you are doing upon the earth at such a time as this. We ask that you bless this time, bless your word, and bless the understanding of your word as it falls on good soil, in Jesus' name. All right. Okay, so quick recap. We are today in part three of a series of how to change your life. All right. So we were in part three. So we're going to do a quick recap because as part of my own teaching in my own past was teaching is repeating until learning takes place. So teaching is repeating until learning takes place. So let's do a quick recap on part one and two. So the goal of this series was to equip the listener with tools to have a life aligned with their inbuilt purpose and life mission. So we're systematically going through both the scriptural basis and then also reflecting on our own life's experience and finding that truth that's therein that we can apply to our own lives. So the outcome of this series is to support practical applications of tools for positive life change. Okay, so in part one of this series, we discussed how, and we went through Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 13, God has good plans for his creation, but then we asked, well, where are the plans? Well, Luke 17 tells us where the plans are. The kingdom is within you. The God has put the plans for you, and specifically you, within you. And that is how, and so the place you'll find the plans that God has for you are within you and uniquely you. Because this is why every person has been uniquely made, and in the process of you living out your own journey, when you look outside of yourself, you never find what you're looking for because you're looking for it in the wrong place. You know, when we look for who we are in something external, you don't find it. You find it within you. Just like you have a unique fingerprint, you have a unique iris, you have a unique facial construction. You have a lot of things that make you uniquely you. So what makes us think that you'll find your expression and your life outside of you? It's been put within you when you got here. So when you got here, every person that's here, you were born at a unique time. You were born on a unique date. You were born in a unique place. You were born to a unique family. You were born into a unique body. You were born into a unique set of life experiences. You were born with a lot of these things that help, that are all uniquely you. So what is necessary for your journey in your life is first and foremost within you. And so the first thing was to understand that which you need for your life is within you. And then to also understand the paradox, which was we discussed in John 10:10, that the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. The kingdom is within. The abundant life starts within. The thief who steals and kills and destroys offers you what you think would be life without yourself. And it's always in something external. Here's these external benefits, pluses, life, you know, all this thing that's there, but none of it satisfies. And that's why when we start by chasing that which is external, because it looks good, feels good, seems good, but it's always missing something. And that's why those that go for the external are always unsatisfied in life the further they go along, because they've missed it. They never aligned their life and their journey with who they were within. And so their experience of life then is unsatisfying because it's not a connection with who they uniquely are. So the place you find the plan is within. And the abundant life also comes from the alignment of that, of who you are within. And from that place, then you go with that. So the first thing was to understand where the plans are. So the plan is within you, to know yourself, and in knowing yourself, you know the plan. And the plan can be revealed from within. The second part, part two, was to understand before you set out. Now, we discussed how life was a journey. We discussed how life has changed. Life has changed. That's the nature of life. So if you don't like the way things are, wait a minute, because things will change, especially now in the day that we live in. How many people have seen the changes of just this last month? How much of the world has shifted and changed in just 30 days? How much more will the world shift and change in another 30 days? Life has changed. People were here, now they're not here. We're here now, then we won't be here. Life has changed. Our journey has changed. So our time here is, so. But in our journey, and in life being a journey, we discussed a few things before you start out and set out on your journey. If it is going to be a change that's in line with your plan and purpose and who you are, some things that you can do before you start out. So the things that we discussed last time was, the first was to drop the weights, drop the anchors. You can't. The purpose of an anchor is to keep you in a spot. It's to keep you from going anywhere. So that's why you drop the anchors. What are some of the anchors? Unforgiveness, false expectations, bad thinking, bad confessions. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So those are things that we spoke about in the last week, and if you haven't heard that one, it's good to go through the previous week, part two, to build on this information. So this is just a recap. We talked about, before you start out on a journey, assessing your traveling companions. You know, how are you going? How can two walk together, lest they be agreed? Amos 3:3. We talked about being unequally yoked. What happens when you get a strong animal with a weak animal, and you put them together? Well, they'll go in circles, because you're going to have one strong one pulling, and one weak one, and you're just going to have that. So you're going to end up going in circles when you're unequally yoked with those that are in the journey with you. So, you know, you want to assess your traveling companions and make sure that they're the same mind, heart, heart and mindset when they're coming into the rest of this with you. We talked about preparing yourself for the journey, so preparing yourself in your being for what it is that you're going to do. So if you're going to run a marathon, you need to prepare for a marathon. Otherwise, you start and you go to try to run a marathon, it'll be a very difficult experience. The better prepared you have made yourself, the better you will see for that outcome. So 1 Corinthians 9:24, we discussed that one too. And then the last one from last week was to commit, which was when you commit to a journey, when you commit to your companions, when you commit to yourself to follow through, that is a very important step in changing your own life, is that internal decision, that internal resolution. You can think back in your own life when when you've had moments of change, when you've had specifically significant changes in your own life, there have been those windows where you woke up one day and said, it can't be like this anymore, right? So somewhere along the way, you had something in your side of yourself where you said, I'm not going to live like this anymore. This is usually when positive changes happen. I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to exist like this anymore. I've got to get to the bottom of this. Things have to be different. And you started down a path of change. So usually what happened was there was something within you that clicked over and said, it's going to be different, and you committed to doing something different, right? Okay, so that was part one and two. So now, today, we're going to get into part three of how to change your life. Part three of how to change your life is going to be, let's go to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. And I'm going to start with verse 1. It says, I will stand upon my watch, and I will see upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright to him, but the just shall live by faith. Okay. This whole chapter is great, and you can go through it, but the one part that I want to draw out for today is part three is start your journey. Okay? So the first part was to know where the plans were and before you start out. Part three in how to change your life is starting your journey. Start your journey. So the first thing that we look at doing, write the vision and make it plain. Now, here's why this is important. When you bring it out and you take the time to bring this thing down, this is what God is speaking to you. This is what the Most High is bringing through you. When you start doing that, what you're doing is you're bringing it into a place where, one, you make it your own, and you make it something. It allows you to test your ideas. It allows you to check your thoughts. It allows you to check your thinking. And in verse 2, it says, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. So anybody that reads the vision can run with it. But how are you going to run with that which you don't know? How can you go forward with that which... You know, a lot of times what happens is people, we expect everything just to be done for us, somehow, magically. But yet, we don't recognize that even God himself brought the Word, was made flesh, and had to manifest in a physical form to accomplish certain things in and on the earth. So there was a reason that the truth, way, truth, life, Jesus, I'm the way, truth, life, right? So truth was manifest in physical form to show something, to teach something, to look. So there is a manifestation process that comes through us. Now, we are beings that have within us that spark of the Most High. So that's within every one of us. We have that creative ability within us. That's part of what it is to be human. And so to be human is to have that quickening within you. And that allows us to create. But we create from the realm of spirit into this reality that we here experience. But it starts from there, and it comes through us, and it manifests to that human experience that we see around us. So one of the things that you can do is to write it down. Write it down. And it's a very simple thing. And, you know, here's one thing too I recommend. Don't give it to DARPA. So do some things on Google Docs, but put some things on paper. You know, write that down. Bring it into a place. Take pen to physical paper. It's a very powerful exercise. And as you work with that information, what will happen is that you will bring your vision into alignment with truth, and you will also be able to, before you move forward with it, now it's a step in the direction, but what you're doing is you're also saying, okay, this is where you're going. This is what you feel is within yourself. Excuse me. This is what you feel is within yourself. Once you see it there, you can actually start to test it. And you want to test those ideas. You want to test those thoughts. There's a huge difference between something being inside of you and something now being committed to a document, to something that's a life journey. How often have you seen where people have all these great things, but they've never had a plan to do them, right? People come up with all kinds of things. So the first step is to have that plan. Now, here's something too. When you have that, you're able to then also, along the way, avoid a number of huge miscalculations and things that happen in the future. I'll give you an example of a plan that's written down. How many of you have ever read the Bitcoin white paper? Okay. So Satoshi Nakamoto, alias name. But it's 9 pages. And one of those pages is a reference doc. So it's 8 pages. An 8-page document. And think about the implications of those 8 pages on the world today. But people, I'm just giving you an example of something that's current affairs, that you can see the implications of something that was written down, people read it, they saw it, and they could go with it. And once they did that, what were some things that happened as a result of that? That changed the world of energy. It changed the world of people's priorities, people's entire lives, what they're doing for work all over the world. It changed, it terraformed the earth. You know, it there was a lot of things that happened as a result of just a 9-page document. But it's just 9 pages written down, but people took it and ran with it. Now here's a miscalculation that's in that document. Part of what he had written up, or the team that wrote that up, whoever was behind that paper, but one of the things they assumed was the unused CPU power of computers would be sufficient to reinforce that blockchain, which is this interconnection, this immutable ledger that would reinforce everything. And at that point in time, because the blocks were so small, yeah, you could just do this on your computer and at somebody else's computer, and it didn't take up much space. But as a race for those blocks became incentivized, and the value went from 7 cents to, you know, tens of thousands of dollars for one Bitcoin, subsequently what happened was there was a massive incentive around having the fastest CPUs out there, ASICs processors, meaning that all of a sudden there was a big incentive around power, and now what was supposed to be something that was decentralized and available to everybody and very cheap now got centralized in countries with cheap power, tremendous processing speed. So you can see how just one small misstep and one small miscalculation, even though the thought of a distributed ledger is a very powerful concept, how one small misstep of how they would achieve that ended up resulting in huge misallocations of resources and priorities and everything else that goes around it, which is why there's much better blockchains today. But this is why when you start building, if you're off by a degree, right? You start here, you don't see much. But once you get up, you get to the Leaning Tower of Pisa. You know, once you get higher and higher and higher, you get to a place where that will really, the implications of that will be seen. So, write the vision, make it plain, know that people are going to run with it, but also be willing to tweak it as you're going, and don't be so committed to, commit to the principle and not the product. Commit to truth and not to, don't be so attached to yourself and your ego. Be willing to take that feedback, that constructive criticism from people that are like-minded, so that you can continue to make those adjustments, because in the process of changing your life and your journey, there's going to be tweaks that can be made along the way that can really hone that down and have the biggest and the most positive impact in your personal experience as well as that which is around you. So just giving you just one example of something that's out there right now, and you see the implications of that in the world at large by just one 9-page document. Okay? So you, and here's something too. You don't realize sometimes the implications of what you do and how broad it will be, the impact of it. That's why people that write computer code, guys that write code, they could be writing something that will be running on millions of people's machines in a month. Very easily. So they have to take that seriously, because if they mess up, if there's a backdoor, there's a problem, there's a huge issue. So if they make something good, it goes out there and it can help a lot of people. If they make something bad or terrible, bad code, it makes, so it's the same with us. You know, when we do something right and well and good and in line with truth and that frequency, that then has that spreading implication. Likewise, so don't be in a rush in this, but also realize that it's worth doing that process. Okay, so write the vision, make it plain. And this is for you and your own journey. The next one in this regard is, and this is the next step. So we're talking about how to change your life. Start your journey, the next one, part two, or point two, I should say, is to take action. Okay, take action in line with your plan. Take action in line with the plan. And here's here's one of the reasons why. So a plan without action is just wishful thinking. Okay, so I'm going to say that one again. A plan without action is just wishful thinking. Why do you need to take action? The reason is that action and not words is the thing that communicates to Source, God, universe, humanity, yourself, what you truly believe and your faith. It's your actions and not your words. And when you act in line with your belief, that is what creates the resonance for everything else to begin to fall into place. In fact, the scriptures put it out there. They couldn't have made it any more plain. The book of Acts was written because people acted. They actually put it in the title so that everybody understood in the future, you act. And when you act, when you do things in line with what you believe, that's when you see these things actually happening and taking place. You know, sometimes they say, oh, why don't they see God move? Well, my response is, well, why doesn't God see you move? Why doesn't God see us move? You know, I mean, like, what happens is people, they're like, well, we're waiting for God to move. It's like, well, he already did what he's going to do. Now he's waiting for us to do what we're going to do. Everything that we need to know is already there. So Jesus, for example, being a manifestation in the flesh to show us how to do it, and he said, okay, go do likewise. But then, for some reason, there's that disconnect between the doing. You know, we talked about last week the what was shared with me by a man in India from his experience, which was while I was there, he said many people what they want to know the will of God for their life so that they can consider it, not so that they can actually do it. And so a lot of people want to know God's will so that they can think about it. But the difference between thinking about it versus do you really want to know God's plan for your life? Because you know, back to again the disconnect between what we start to think and what we're fed by the world and the world system, which is again the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy, but we think that's the good way. So we go with that plan, and then we find out later that you actually squandered what true life was, and true life was actually something different. But you only find that out as you go further down the path. So it's written because people acted. The book of Acts is written because people acted. Let's go to Hebrews 11, and this is a very familiar passage, but I just want to highlight one thing in this passage. Hebrews 11 and verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. All right. So in this one, now faith is. So faith is something. You know, it's not something nebulous. In fact, there's you can interchange the word faith with trust. That's actually an interchangeable word. So sometimes when you read anything about faith, just substitute in the word trust and see how it reads again. Now, trust is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Trust comes from an understanding and an experience, and once you know, you're able to take action because there's something greater. It's not something that is nebulous. It's actually, like, for everybody that's in this room, there's a certain level of trust, and that level of trust is based on experience. We've all had experiences, you know, with each other to varying degrees. And so by the varying degrees of the experiences that you've had, you've got a certain level of trust. So now, likewise in life, faith is a substance. It actually takes on, by you continuing to do and move in a particular direction, that takes on a greater it takes on a greater weight and gravity and presence in your life and your experience, because you are moving in that and you're exercising that. Sometimes people want to quote unquote increase their faith. Well, what do you do with the faith you've got? You know, will you take a step with what you have And by taking a step with what you have, you will then know more. You know, you don't need to know more right now because you didn't do anything with what you had in the first place. Yeah. You know, you start with what you had in the first place and then you will know more. There is that whole thing about need to know, you know, like need to know basis. People talk about, you know, they will give you certain information if on the need to know basis. Why should God tell you something more if you haven't done anything with what he told you in the first place? Yeah. So in that one, when we start to look at that, it's the evidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, this is important going into point three. So point three is, so we, part one, part two, or point one, point two. Point three is know your destination. Okay, so here's the third one for today. Live your present from your future self. And not creating your future from your past self. Okay? All right, so I'm going to say that one again. Live your present from your future self and not creating your future from your past self. So the past is the loop. And that's also how things never change. So if we talk about how to change your life, well, so, okay, if you're still anchored and you try to go somewhere, what's going to happen? You're just going to be pulling on that anchor. You're just going to go in a circle. If you're unequally yoked with other traveling companions, you're going to go in a circle. These are all ways to make sure you don't change your life. You don't change your world. You don't change your experience. When you have people cursing you in your own life, when you're cursing yourself, when you're speaking curse over your own life and your own self, and you're speaking negatively to yourself, what are you doing? You have the creative power of the Most High within you to create, and what you're creating is something negative for your own life. So you curse yourself by saying, you cannot do this, you cannot do that, this won't happen. You're absolutely right, because you've spoken it into existence, and you've ensured that that's happened. By your own confession, your own decision, your own life choices, you're creating your own world and your own life experience, and as a result of it, you don't like the outcome. That's different, but you're still creating it. So, you know, there's plenty of things in the book of Proverbs that discusses the power of the tongue. The tongue has the power of life and death in it. You know, it's you know, it's got, there is your mouth, your tongue, the words you speak. The Most High spoke and things happened. Jesus showed up and spoke and things happened. What makes you think that just because you're made in his image and likeness, when you speak, that nothing happens? You know, when you speak, things happen. Things come into frequency, happens, resonance happens. When you say something is going to happen, good or bad, you're putting something out into that realm. This is also why the world tries to get a hold of your mind and your thinking, so that you create in line with their plan and purpose for you. Not that you create in purpose with what the Most High's plan is for your life, right? So you want to create in line with your purpose. So live your present from your future self, not creating your future from your past. So, how does that work? Well, one piece about this too is that this is the power of being present, of being I am. So, when people asked, you know, when Abraham asked, you know, who shall I say sent me? Or Moses asked, who shall I say sent me? Well, I am. You know, when Jesus, before Abraham was, I am. Like, it's this piece of like, okay, well, what is that? Well, first of all, you're right here, right now. You're an eternal being right here in this place. When you are in that place and present, everything that's come before this moment doesn't exist. You're here, right now, in this moment. And in that place, you can create from the present. You can't create from the past. You can create from the now. And so when you're in the now, and you let all the stuff go, that's one of the first pieces of being able to change things. If you're still holding on to that old stuff, what happens is now you create life and misery and everything else from what's come before. How many people are continuing to form their identity by their traumas of the past? Their trauma of the past has become what they hold on to today for their current, to then now what shaped their future. And so if you choose to be a victim because of what happened in your past, Well, what's going to end up happening in your future? Oh no, you just became a victim again. Why? Because you spoke that out. You said you didn't have any power. You now gave it away to anybody else that could victimize you. And then what the result is that the loop that you experience in your life and in your future is being a victim. If you, and you look and you see, think about in your own life, anytime that you created something, anytime that you what? You saw it within, you started taking steps towards manifesting that, and then you started doing it, and it happened. And when it happened, and it came to pass, and it manifested, and you brought it into reality, that was you exercising creation, and you moving in that. Now the thing is, how far can you push that? How big could you make that? You've never tried. You've never considered how big you can make that. There, now, considering what the Most High has done with humanity here, and you're made in His image and His likeness, well, how far can you go? So, and now here's one key with this too. Creating from your future self and not from your past self. So now, if you know who you are, and now let me give you the flip side of this from the dark side. In the world of human trafficking, the very first thing that they do is try to take away your identity. The first thing that they do is they take away your identity. Take away your passports, take away your papers, give you new clothes, you know, to beat you down, whatever it is, to make you now, whatever you were before, that's not who you are. You are now the new identity that they give you. And they will work to get you to accept that identity through trauma, through abuse, through all the things that they do to you to get you to accept that other identity, to detach from who you really are, right? That's what they want to do. Separate you and assign to you an identity so you create your future experience from the identity that you were assigned by the slavers, right? But you're not a slave. You were not... You might have been born into a slave system, but you're not a slave. What would you do if you found out tomorrow that you are a direct descendant of kings and royalty, and you found that out, and that was known to you? All of a sudden, what would that do? What would that click inside your own spirit, inside your own heart? Would you want to know more about that? Would you want to dig into that? Would you want to find out about that? Would you want to travel to that place, see where that place is, where your history, your ancestry is? You would all of a sudden, something would rise up in you because you realize, wait, I've just found out something about my identity that I didn't know from before. Tell me more, right? So, but that's just a little bit of an understanding of where you've come from. But here's the thing, whatever you've come from is one thing, but wherever you're going is something else. And this is part of being an organic human being, is that your destiny is limitless. Your creation possibility is not capped. And because of that, you can create from your future self. But the way that you do that is to know who that future self is. So you have to see yourself from that future self and live your life today from who you will be and who you know yourself to be. Does that make sense? I see the heads. Yeah. Okay. So what happens is that when you create from your future self, what you're now doing is you are aligning your current being with your future being, and you're allowing for the events of life to line up to connect so that your future you can connect with the pathways necessary to take you from here to your future you. Right? Mm-hmm. So if you now all of a sudden understand who your future self is, then everything that you start to do today is going to be in line with that. You're going to have certain things that you now anticipate because they have to happen to get from here to there. So you're going to have certain things that you're going to be looking for that in eager anticipation, because it must take place in order for it to go from here to there, for the future self of you to be manifest. So create from your future self. And I'll just just a thought, but every miracle in the Bible that you would read about, they saw it within before it was manifest without. So every time that you read about something in the Bible, none of this was a surprise. You know, they saw it within. Now, sometimes they might have had a little bit of apprehension here and there, but they're willing to go with what the Most High was quickening them to do. But there was something inside them that quickened them at least to the action that allowed for it to happen and manifest and take place. But they always had a measure of seeing it within before it was manifest without. And so, in your own life and your own experience, you can see it within before it's manifest without. And so that is part of, but the way to continue to go forward with that, these are tools that will help you in this. Write it down, because now you know the direction you're going with. Others can align with that too when they know, oh, okay, here's where we're going, right? So, you know, when my wife and I, when we were getting married, you know, she had to know who she was marrying, because we're on a journey. And, you know, in that regard, it's like, because, you know, when you're having somebody join you in this journey of life, it's like, okay, well, I'll join you in a journey. Where are you going? You know? So this is part of also for all of us. When you know who you are and what you're about, it's much easier for other people to say, I agree with that. Yeah, I'll go with you in that journey. Or I don't agree with that. I think let's part ways. Right? When you're stronger in who you are, and that's also what helps you not be swayed. So when you don't know that, then something comes along, oh, okay, that's fine, I'll go there. And you're tossed to and fro, right? But when you know it for yourself, you're able to keep and track that course, and then others can join you in that course. So in recap, write it down, take action, and live your present from your future self. You're not creating your future from your past, because your past is the loop, and we are speaking about how to change your life. And so if you want to change your life in line with the plan and purpose that the Most High has for you, live your present from who He has said that you are and who He's destined you to be. And with that, we will we'll stop here for today. So if you join me in a word of prayer, we'll close. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you again for your word. Thank you for this time. Thank you, Father, for the blessing of being able to be together. And we just ask that you bless everyone that has heard these words and everyone that will hear these words in the future. We just ask that you quicken each and every one of us to maximize our journey and the plan and purpose that you have for each and every one of us. Thank you, Father, for your love and for your care for all of us. And we just commit to this journey and to your plan and purpose. Protect each and every one of us. Bring us into the maximum in our bodies, in our minds, and in our spirits, so that we can fulfill the plan and purpose that you have for each and every one of us in our journey here. Thank you, Father. We bless each and every one in Jesus' name.